Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And when IK and Panali gets a mention yesterday, I kind of chuckle about it. Like, dude, that was...
Why did he come up?
Because of the fact that that's how his tenure or Geno Smith's tenure with the Jets kind of ended. He got punched in the face over like
$50. Who was calling the game?
Mark Sanchez and the other guy.
That was the other thing. It was Sanchez on the game.
There you go. That's true. There you go. That's why it was relevant. I'm like, why the hell did IK and Panali come up?
I don't know, man. Like, to me, the loss is bad enough. Like, thinking about... three administrations ago with Geno Smith and how the Jets failed him. Mm. Thinking about the Leonard Williams trade with Dave Gettleman and the Giants, it doesn't kill me. Now, I bet you when Beningo joins us at 4 o'clock, I bet you the Leonard Williams stuff will bother him. Because Leonard Williams never became what we thought he would be. We always looked at him as nice player, but he's not an impactful player. And yesterday he made an impactful play that changed the entire game.
I mean, and he also got an interception before any Giant member in the secondary.
True, but it's a good point. Giants have one interception all season long. But I feel like Leonard Williams, the expectation was always overinflated for what he actually is.
Well, it's because of where he was drafted. When you're drafted that high, the expectation is you're going to be a Pro Bowler every year.
Bowler and have like double-digit sacks and all these other things that we look at D tackles. But the reality is, I remember when he got traded to Seattle. We had a Seattle game, and we asked Pete Carroll about him, and he said he's the perfect three technique, right? He occupies space. He takes the pressure off of everybody else, so he does his job well. It just doesn't show up in a justification for a top first round pick.
And that was the issue we had.
That's the problem with taking D tackles at whatever pick he was.
Now I'm going to ask you guys a trivia question, because Leonard Williams bothers some Jet fans that he had this great revenge game at MetLife Stadium, mm-hmm. and even Fox rubbed it in, because didn't they play like a welcome back song going to commercial break after the Leonard Williams pick six?
Yes, they did.
Welcome back by Mace, thank you. Now, I'm curious if you guys remember, because it was a rare Jet-Giant trade. The New York Jets received two draft picks from the New York Giants for Leonard Williams. You guys remember that?
Yeah, I have no idea who they are.
I can tell you who they are, and I don't know if this changes anybody's view on the trade. What if I told you that both guys, and it's been 5 years since the trade, both guys still on the New York Jets? Huh. What if I told you that?
I'm going to guess one is Ashton Davis.
Ashton Davis is correct. Look at you.
Nice one.
Now,
good call, Sean.
Ashton Davis, not very good. We'll all admit that, but nevertheless.
But he plays. He contributes.
He plays, he contributes on a small scale, and he got a second contract.
Yes.
So, when you trade someone for draft picks, we always like to say it's like a lottery ticket. Well, you didn't win the lottery with Ashton Davis, but put it this way, you won about $150. So it's like, I won, I didn't win the big one. The big one is you win millions of dollars and you have yourself like a franchise player. But in this case, Ashton Davis is one. Do you know who the other is?
I don't.
Still on the Jets. Michael Carter II, the cornerback, the nickel corner.
Oh, jeez.
So I don't know if that makes the trade less horrible, that the Jets 5 years ago got two draft picks back, and both of those guys have at least been on this team for 4 years and 5 years, respectively.
Yeah, I mean, you got one of the best nickel corners in football.
So you say the Jets made a good trade?
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
I would say it's a good trade.
Worked out well?
Yeah. Especially because you weren't going to pay Leonard Williams.
Exactly.
And so you moved off of him, got something that's still contributing.
Now,
it worked out. It worked out for him.
See?
Worked out for the Jets.
Didn't work out for the Giants.
In theory.
Well, we got those picks turned into burns, so to be determined.
Right, right.
There you go.
He's actually paying it forward everywhere he goes.
That's right. Leonard Williams is continuing to pay it forward. All I know is it would have been nice if he didn't have a pick six. Like, that would have made life a little bit better. But nevertheless, he got a pick six and changed the entire game.
Just a great D call.
Yes, it was. Let's go to John in Locust Valley. How are you, John?
Good. Evan, Tiki, Tommy, good afternoon.
What's up, man?
I'm a longtime Jet fan. I guess I was spoiled as a kid with the Super Bowl win. Now I feel cursed with an idiot owner and, sure, an overrated quarterback. But what bothers me the most is the arrogance of its defense, which at best is average. They're always congratulating themselves for small achievements while making mistake after mistake after mistake. They're more overrated than Aaron Rodgers is. He at least came ready to play yesterday. The block. I mean, I don't want to stick up for him, but, you know, Sauce, DJ Reed, these guys are not as good as advertised. And I feel like instead of just going after Aaron, these are the guys that bother me the most.
Right, because of the penalties and the, I mean, and then he goes off on social media about how bad the refs were.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, look, in a way, you're right, because ultimately, when you're expected to be as great as Sauce is expected to be, I mean, he's been all pro for 2 years, first 2 years of his career, you got to produce.
I agree.
Even if you're in a weird spot, like your role has changed and you're not doing the same things that you were really good at, but you still got to be a good player.
Of course. Look, they committed four absolutely brutal penalties on the game-winning Seattle Seahawks drive. There's no question about that. But my retort to you, while I'll agree with every criticism one has about the Jet defense, I'll just volley back with this. How many points did the New York Jets offense score in the second half of this game?
Zero.
Now, does anybody find that acceptable?
No.
They scored 0 points after they took a 21-7 lead on a kick return for a touchdown and were set up with a 3rd and 8 from the Seattle 8-yard line, and they went scoreless after that. You had the pick six. You had a turnover on downs. You had a drive that went nowhere. You had another drive that went nowhere. You had the Breece Hall fumble. You had a 3-and-out once the lead was down to 21-19, and then you had the final drive of the game. So we can volley back and forth on all the patheticness about this Jet team, and I'll certainly agree with our last caller that you can't commit the kind of dumb penalties they committed on the game-winning drive. And you're right that Sauce Gardner, and he got hurt yesterday, has had a bad season. And you're right that this defense has not lived up to the way it played last year. All that's true. But what you can't change is that this offense, with an offensive line that I thought for the most part actually played decent yesterday, including Olu Fashanu playing really well at left tackle, an offense that features Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams and a run game that has a two-headed monster, even a three-headed monster when you think about Isaiah Davis's contributions, you scored 0 points in the last three quarters against the Seahawks? Dude, that crap's unacceptable.
Right.
Give me all you want about the defense, all you want about the penalties. Complain all you want about DJ Reed losing his mind on the officials. And all that stuff's true. Like, everything can be true while acknowledging that an offense with that kind of talent cannot be shut out for three straight quarters against the Seahawks in your own stadium.
Right. Well, they did score in the second quarter. It was right at the beginning of the second quarter.
And how did they score at the beginning of the second quarter? They scored on a kick return for a touchdown.
That's right.
The last time they got on the end zone was the touchdown to Isaiah Davis, which was late first quarter. So offensively, they went three quarters without scoring in their own stadium against the Seahawks. I'm sorry, that's indefensible. And while we could change the subject all we want to talk about the defense and the coaching and this or that, all of it's true. But let's not ignore that aspect, because that's the thing that bothered me the most as I tried to move on with my day yesterday.
It was very windy in the second half, to be fair.
Oh,
did they factor for wind conditions?
Because
they're great practicers, they'll tell you that.
You're no longer on the Aaron Rodgers Jets payroll. You don't have to make excuses for them. And I don't need to hear that. I don't want to hear about the wind. How about the Seahawks offense in the second half of this game? You want me to tell you what they did? Just in case anybody forgot, they marched down the field, and the defense actually did a really good job holding them up when Quincy Williams sacked Geno Smith, and the Seahawks had like 7 opportunities to score inside the 5-yard line. But they put together a sustained drive and had a chance to score. Then they had a field goal drive. Then they had a touchdown drive. They didn't have any issues with the wind conditions in the second half of this game.
Nope.
There's always an excuse. Always. And the truth is, from top to bottom, this is a pathetic franchise. Tyrone is in Newark. What's up, Tyrone?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Yo.
Hey, man, he just about put the hammer on the nail, bro. Listen, bro, I'm just saying, please don't hang up on me, man. But, man, look, we... Tiki Barber, look, I watch you play. I watch everything, man. Don't keep trying to sell me that this guy is not terrible, man. I hate to keep doing that. But, man, you guys try to... I'm hearing some days, oh, he bad. And then next thing you know, oh, you can win with him. Man, get him out of here, bro. He sucks. He's a bad guy. And look, wait one second. Did you hear yesterday anybody say, man, we could have won that game yesterday? But Aaron Rodgers, man, if he would never threw that interception, we would have. See, look, that's what I'm saying. But if that, he'll call out a player behind that. He do not take on responsibility. We got him for when everybody else ain't doing their little job. He come in as that, you know, quarterback guru that he's supposed to be. He got his wide receivers. He got his coaches.
Yep.
Man, look, man, how many people are he going to get fired before you realize this is
oh, no, Tyrone. He's already gotten everybody fired, and he's gone.
Including himself, probably.
Yeah, he got himself fired. Like, he's in that weird spot where he's fired, but he's still employed right now. But you don't have to sell anybody on the return or the non-return of Aaron Rodgers. He's done here.
Yeah, nobody is going into next season saying, well, I can't wait for this season. I can't wait for Aaron Rodgers to lead us to the promised land. I can't believe that nobody's picking us to win a Super Bowl. That's not happening anymore.
And you know what? There is a small part of me that's happy. And I'll tell you why. Not
why? Because you can finally start over?
Yeah, well, there's closure to it. The worst thing that can happen with a Hall of Fame player or a great player that you acquire or multiple great players you acquire is having injuries derail it and you saying, what could have been? What should have been?
Like, now you know. This is a conversation you had last year.
Yeah.
Actually, I remember having this conversation at the beginning of this season.
Yeah.
At the very least, you'll know.
And guess what? We all know.
Now you know.
We all know it's over. We all know this didn't work. And when we talk about the great failures in New York sports, the Aaron Rodgers experiment with the New York Jets is going to top the list. It's going to be number one.